literally the number one key to success in e-commerce, customer acquisition, strategy, all of it, is that you need to embrace a growth mindset. The concept is that you stay consistent, you keep testing, and you fail as fast as you possibly can, and you embrace those failures. And if you can do that, you'll absolutely be successful.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the format, well, we release 5 episode mini series that dive deep into one e-commerce marketing topic. It could be channels like email or SEO or Facebook ads, or a big topic like acquisition, retention, or analytics. In each of the episodes, new ones released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. And then, after each 5 episode mini series, we take a week off. Yeah, we get lazy. I know we don't get lazy, but we don't put an episode out. And that gives you time to take action on what you've learned over the mini series. At the moment, we are spending our 5 episodes exploring customer acquisition in order to set you up right for 2026. We could not do that without a session on Facebook ads, or Meta ads if you prefer. And we've got a corker of a guest for you. She's been named number 11 in the top e-commerce people to watch list. And her clients have called her everything from their digital fairy godmother to their business security blanket. She's not only great at Meta ads, she understands the full e-commerce growth engine. So she's giving us this advice within that context. We're going to be discussing what's working right now in Meta ads, including going into the big topic that is creative. We'll be talking about creative, but she's going to be drilling us into her 2 key things you need to do if you want Facebook ads that are going to scale your business in 2026. Make sure you listen to the end of the episode because her insider tips are very good too. You don't want to miss those. And then I'll be sharing my take on it and outlining a couple of other ways we could help you even further with your customer acquisition. So stay tuned to the end. Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, 1 in 4 can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTokAds. All one word. I'd love to hear how you get on.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
In this episode, I'm chatting with customer acquisition expert Elise Collat. Elise is a digital growth leader and e-commerce strategist with over 15 years of experience helping purpose-driven brands scale with impact, including delivering triple-digit growth for multiple global brands like Frank Green, Thank You, and Stand. Hello, Elise.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome to have you on the show covering such a big topic in everyone's marketing budget planning, which hopefully you've all already sorted for 2026, but I suspect there's still some budget shenanigans going on. So thank you so much for being up for covering Facebook ads for us. Before we get into all of that though, how did you get into this world of e-commerce and customer acquisition?
Oh my goodness. It was probably about 10 years ago. I can't believe it's actually been a decade already, but I started my first e-commerce brand. It was actually a pet adventure gear brand, dabbling with some drop shipping and then creating some products. And I was just doing everything myself out of my bedroom, figuring it all out, completely self-taught, following all the Shopify guides of here's how to build an Octa brand in 7 days and reading everything I could get my hands on back when they were really big in their content marketing. And since then, I've worked a bunch of in-house brands, agencies, startups, everything doing $0 days all the way up to $30 million months. So I feel like I've seen it from all sides. And obviously, to be successful, to grow, you need to focus on getting new customers in. And so that's been a huge part of my growth strategies and something that I'm really, really passionate about.
I laughed because I think we can, those of us who've been around for long enough, at the beginning, Shopify was the build a matcha tea site in 3 days company. There seemed to be another one of those case studies coming out every week, and it was mind-blowing at the time. So that's why I laughed, everybody.
I was eating those up. I really was.
Oh, yeah. I think at the time I was living in Oxford and regularly going into London. So I think either I would have turned them into a PDF and sent them to my Kindle to read on the train, or I was carrying them around in paper version to read on the train. They were catnip, though. Absolute catnip. Loved those. Anyway, we digress. We are not here to unpick Shopify's content strategy from 10 years ago. We're here to talk about what's working in Facebook ads. So set the scene for us. There's lots of different things we can do with Facebook ads, lots of different things different size businesses do. So who's this advice specifically for?
Yeah, I think the foundations work across almost every business, but really honing in on those kind of 6 to 7 figure brands who are focused on that new customer acquisition, that growth with their, sales and conversion ads.
And would it be fair to say this is about not coming up with one awesome campaign? This is about building the system that will enable you to keep scaling in a sane and pragmatic way rather than that, oh God, what are we going to do? It's not working way.
Absolutely. I think sane and pragmatic is a really good way to put it. And I think a lot of people, especially as they start to hit that growth mark, that 6 to 7 figure marks, things can start to feel quite messy, especially depending on how rapid that growth has been. And depending on how big of a team you have, how much expertise you have in the Facebook ads space. So I think the two things that are working the most that I see for the brands that feel like they've got it together and are feeling relatively sane is having not only a constant testing structure across that full funnel, because plenty of experts and even Meta will tell you, simplify, just run one campaign. It's fine. We'll do the rest for you. and while in some cases, it is simpler than ever, I always love to keep testing that and testing the theories that they say, but also having a really strong creative flywheel. And I think the more systemized you can get that, what I call a creative flywheel, and I think I'm sure I'm not the only one who calls it that, then things start to feel a lot smoother.
Are you happy if we dive into the creative bit first and then we'll go into the testing strategy that worked for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that the thing which has really struck me about the creative stuff as the kind of the last 12, 18 months has progressed, and tell me if I'm way off mark on this, because it's been a while since I've even logged into a Facebook ads campaign, so I may be way off base. But it feels like you can absolutely screw it up if you just create any old creative, if you're not creating the creative that attracts the right buyer. It's almost like the creative has become the targeting mechanism as well as being the call to action mechanism. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You're exactly correct. I think you've hit the nail on the head. The, according to the Andromeda update and all the technical side of things, the more specific you are in your creative and the more obvious it is who that product is for, you can actually put 6 or 7, as many as you want, different target customers in the same campaign, as long as that creative is really clear on who it's for, and Meta will actually, send it out to those right people. But if the creative is too vague or too broad, speaking to too many people or not hitting on those pain points in a strong enough way, you're going to really struggle. You're going to flounder. So the main thing, even more than any kind of ad account structure or anything, is being hyper focused on the, like you said, the call to action, but also the pain points, the emotional connection, and making sure that that creative is just spot on, that someone feels really connected to it when they see it, and that they, you know, stop scrolling and actually click.
So how do we go about A, creating the right creative in the first place, but then turning it into that repeatable flywheel system that just keeps delivering for us? Big question.
Yeah, it's a big question. I'll try not to ramble on here. You can cut me off if you need to. I think the main way, and we can unpack it further if you want, I've heard some really, and worked with some brands who are doing a really good job, where they kind of go out and they have a really clear definition of the types of angles that work. And so then they just create several different ad concepts and scripts off of that. And then from there, they actually have a list of 8 to 10 hooks that they record per video that are all very strong and very different. And then they, so that's the organization on the front end, and on the back end, every piece of video that they record, every piece of content they create is filed very systematically in their drives, whatever drive you use, and so that they can cut and paste and make chop and change as often as they need, as many iterations as they need with all of that existing content. Because I actually speak to quite a lot of brands who say, oh, we just need to do another photo shoot. We need to do another session. We got to create more content. And if you look back at what they have more than enough. It just needs to be cut together again in the right way or double down on. So I think the front end side is creating that series of angles and concepts. And again, it's usually, it can be as simple as a spreadsheet matrix, and then making sure you do enough variety when you're actually creating that content. And then the back end, filing it so that you can just chop and change and use it. And that creative can kind of compound for you in a bunch of different videos.
I suspect that will have been a light bulb moment for a lot of people listening. Oh, I don't need to go and record 20 videos. I can do one or two main videos and then change the hook, change the outro, change the length. I find that's the thing which people find most intimidating about this creative play, is that they feel like they have to create a brand new video every time, rather than, you know, back in the days of AdWords and static Facebook ads, we'd have just been changing the picture, or we'd have just been changing the copy. We wouldn't have been changing the whole thing every time.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think some people even get stuck thinking they have to create it all themselves, especially if you're one of those brands that has a much smaller team, but is hitting some of these numbers, it can start to feel very, very overwhelming. And that's where, again, you can outsource to creators. And some brands, again, find that really, really useful, and some have nailed it, and some find working with creators the bane of their existence. But outsourcing that and doing the exact same process, super clear on the angles, the customer that each creator is targeting, the messaging, and having those creators record 5-10 hooks for each video that they create, now you've just gotten 5 or 10 pieces of content instead of, you know, 2 or 3.
So this is literally making it now into the content creator space, the influencer space, the UGC space. So the brief to a creator would now be, this is the video we want, and we want you to do at least 5 hooks that are probably going to pinpoint on X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people have differing opinions on whether you should be super prescriptive to a creator or whether you should let them have creative freedom. I think that kind of depends on the level of creator. I personally love to give them a pretty strong brand brief so that they can kind of become an expert on the brand with a whole bunch of suggestions. But then if they would prefer to, you know, provide their own angle, provide what makes them comfortable, what they're actually good at creating, that's absolutely fine. But just making sure that they're briefed about the brand. And then again, giving them the opportunity to record several hooks so that if there is one that works way better than another, it didn't take us 5 different times of working with that creator to find that. It took us once with, you know, 5 different hooks.
And then presumably the hooks is the main thing we're then optimizing from then on out. So we're looking at, you know, which one in that example, okay, this hook worked the best. How can we expand on that? You know, for terrible example, but this was the hook that talked about free shipping. So how many other ways can we talk about free shipping? Is that the process we then go into?
Absolutely. I think there's kind of 3 main things that I filter in terms of defining what piece of creative is successful. And I think the first is it could be the hook. The second is it could be the overall concept. Is the angle, you know, that we're organic, homegrown, whatever those roots are, or is the angle that the problem that we solve, that, you know, in 7 days, your acne is going to be gone, whatever that concept is, that's usually more in depth than just the hook. The hook can often be a little hard to repeat, but you can then test that hook across multiple concepts, and you can now double down on that concept with multiple different hooks. So now you've just, you know, iterated exponentially. And then the third thing is the visual. So is there, you know, is it a POV? Is it a static? Is it a certain type of creator that seems to capture everyone because they have a certain look, a certain reputability, or is it something else entirely? It's a founder concept, it's a warehouse, whatever that might be. So the main things that I kind of look for is the hook, the concept, and then the creative type.
Oh, that's such a clear way of looking at it. Well, I can see people getting hung up on, you know, oh, the background's blue in this one. Maybe that's the thing. No, not relevant. Not relevant. Because this is now doing our targeting. I know there's a lot of brands who go after different customer demographics. You know, like they maybe find one set of products resonates with an older demographic and one set resonates with the younger demographic. Is it possible to creative and undoubtedly in separate campaigns within Facebook, but to target different demographics and make that work for you? Or does that just simply confuse the algorithm?
Allegedly, and in my experience so far, you can actually put way different creative targeting totally different people into the same campaign. And Meta, you know, again, allegedly prefers that at the moment. So again, you could put in concepts targeting, you know, the horse people, the dog people, the bunny people for your pet brand all in to one campaign broad. Wow. And it should find, again, as long as it's clear enough within those ad creatives and the imagery and the text that, again, Andromeda is, it prefers that. And in fact, in the research I've kind of been doing and the testing I've been doing, the more widely varied and the more different that creative is, the better it performs versus just changing, again, the hook slightly and having all of your, you know, horse creative, I'm just going to keep with that theme, in one with slightly different headlines and then another ad set with all the bunny. Again, you might choose to do that just for product collection, like if you want to divide up your product collections or categories based on ad sets or campaigns, still something you can absolutely do. I'm not saying upend everything, dump it all together, but you certainly could, especially if you're a brand that has lower resources, less experience in ad buying, or less time. Again, you actually can keep it pretty crazy simple and still see decent results. I'm sure there's people out there screaming, no, that doesn't work for me. It is very different for everyone. But again, since the Andromeda update, that's been what you're allowed, you know, you technically can do more than what you could have done, you know, even 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It's kind of changed the game.
Wow. I thought that was a really silly question. Clearly not a really silly question, because that was a brilliant answer. So anything else we should say about on the creative side of things before I take you back to the constant testing of your structure?
I think with creative, and I'm, you know, it's probably very annoying because a lot of people are saying it, but volume, you know, really keep pushing, stay consistent with it, and get creative content is king right now. And that's true. That's true for the ads. So keep that, what I call the flywheel, going and stay consistent with it and test as much as you possibly can.
So to try and put some numbers around that, which I know is going to be really annoying because this is definitely an it depends answer, but how often would you be making sure you are adding new creative into the mix, which could be a different set of hooks on an existing concept, or it could be mix and matching some existing stuff you've got? But how often are you deploying what appears to be fresh creative into Facebook?
Yeah, it depends a little bit on your budget. But I, you know, for a smaller brand, at minimum, I'm doing kind of 4 or 5 brand new concepts every single week. And that's evergreen. So sometimes if you've got campaigns or things, you can kind of tick that box. But generally, try to have align with the team of this is what I need every single week. And that can be briefed on a monthly basis or a weekly basis. For bigger brands, that could easily be 10 or 20 pieces of creative a week. And again, ideally, they're not just very, very small variations. Ideally, they're pretty broad concepts. But you can usually get away with, again, between 5 to 10 pieces of content, ad creative per week, if you've got enough budget behind it.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for that.
Quite a lot.
So at the beginning, you said there were 2 key things we have to get right. One is the creative flywheel that we've just gone through. The other one was the constant testing structure. Explain more.
I just like to challenge what everyone's saying. including Meta itself, right? So I love to put up that Advantage Plus, broad, no exclusions, dump a bunch of different creative into it and see if it performs better than the, you know, exclusion Advantage Plus or a top of funnel broad and turn off Advantage Plus. I still love to test interest groups, particularly indirect interest groups. So, you know, a couple of years ago, Taylor Swift was killing it for any brand that had a female audience. That interest group was absolutely smashing. And so I love finding those pockets and testing that and just seeing what actually works, because often generally you find that most of the advice is more or less correct. But I do find, again, when you're scaling, when you're a big brand, and you're trying to, the difference between single, double, or triple digit growth really is carving out some of this testing and finding these little pockets, these, you know, incremental improvements in CRO or your cost per acquisition. And so you've got to be testing to find that. You can't sit back on your laurels. And so I personally do like to test out top of funnel and do a couple different top of funnel campaigns, as I just mentioned. You know, let Meta take the reins, then be more prescriptive, see what works best. I also keep testing that every few months. If it didn't work a few months ago, let's double check it again. Has things shifted? Because it's always changing so much. I love lookalike audiences. I love middle of funnel with special offers. So kind of always tailoring it specifically to each brand and each customer journey, their, you know, life cycle, product drops, all that type of stuff. It's so bespoke for every company, but I just like to find things where I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's different than, you know, what this other brand did, or this is different than what I heard on that podcast the other day, or this is actually killing it. So I really like to just challenge that and, I guess, find counterintuitive wins.
And how much budget do you hold back for those testings and those counterintuitive wins? Because I've heard some people say like 1%, 5%, 10%, 20%. How much do you think is a reasonable amount for the experimentation and the trying to find those little nuggets of awesomeness?
That's a good question. I would say 20% is probably a good rough indicator, just because I kind of, my rule of thumb is generally 80% what's working, 20% keep testing. But in reality, I probably actually do test even 20 to 30% just because I get excited about it. So again, if you're a ginormous brand, you could easily be spending a ton of money and it could only be 1%, but I tend to test a little bit more.
I get hung up on details sometimes, and testing is one of those places I get hung up on details, which is kind of like, once the test is working, you know, does that still come out the testing budget or does that go into the main budget? So it's like, well, if you're testing successfully and it's producing a great ROAS and you're getting the sales you need, then surely that should mean you've got more money to spend on testing. You know, it's that when does testing become business as usual? But we do not need to go down that rabbit hole. Right, Elise, this has been awesome. Anything else you'd like to prime our audience with, or have we covered all the key stuff they need to know to make their Facebook ads successful in 2026?
I think the only thing that I'll add is that I might mention this in our quick fire, but the creative doesn't have to be gorgeous and polished. And hopefully everyone listening to this already knows that, but maybe it'll be a bit of an aha, especially for founders or marketing managers who are a bit more perfectionist or millennial like me. But the uglier, the better, the more raw, the better, the less it looks like an ad, the better. So don't hesitate. And I always joke with some of my creative directors who make beautiful content. I'm like, give me a beautiful one, give me an ugly one. I always need an ugly version. I want you to cringe when you send it to me. And so always keep that in mind. It doesn't have to, when I said, if you're cringing at how much testing I said or how much volume of creative I said, keep in mind it can feel ugly, authentic, raw. It doesn't have to be super polished.
Yeah, we're not looking for the TV ad you put in the middle of the Super Bowl here, are we?
Not anymore.
No. Okay, Elise, it's been great picking your brains about all of this. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Elise's insider tips on customer acquisition and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, one in four can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTokAds. All one word. I'd love to hear how you get on.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Okay, Elise, so far we've gone deep into Facebook ads. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of customer acquisition. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with customer acquisition, which of course does include all the things we've already been talking about. Elise, are you ready for the insider tips?
Yes.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
This is the tip that I always give, and it's probably a little bit boring, but it's literally the number one key to success in e-commerce, customer acquisition, strategy, all of it, is that you need to embrace a growth mindset. There's a book on it, but the concept is that you stay consistent, you keep testing, and you fail as fast as you possibly can, and you embrace those failures. And if you can do that, you'll absolutely be successful.
Yeah, that's the point we didn't make when we were talking about testing budgets earlier, which is if you don't test in an ad account, it just slowly gets smaller and smaller and smaller,
exactly.
Doesn't it? You've got to test to find the winners. I love that piece of advice. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Just A/B testing and constantly challenging what you think you know. Because e-commerce moves so fast, the tech platforms move so fast, consumer behavior shifts so rapidly, all three of those things compound to create a very volatile environment. So constantly A/B test and challenge what you actually think, create a hypothesis, but don't hesitate to prove yourself wrong.
More great advice. I think we're getting a very good insight to your values and your drivers here. I like this, Elise. Test, everyone. Challenge. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I love a bunch of different YouTube channels and podcasts, but I don't listen to just one because I think it's really, really important to kind of synthesize all the different advice out there. So I personally do love David Fogarty and Chase Chappelle's YouTube channels. Those are totally free. They often give you very specific ideas on different hooks, different psychology methods, and different tools for customer acquisition as well. So they're a really good spot to start. Of course, they're both selling mentorship programs, but they give a lot of really good free value that I highly recommend.
Love those two. So two YouTube channels for you all to go and check out. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Absolutely. I think this is a double-sided coin, which is that AI, of course, is going to continue to change the game. So I highly recommend testing it, leveraging it, embracing it. Having said that, though, I haven't seen AI ads necessarily taking over. And in fact, consumers are actually looking for more real, raw, authentic connections, particularly in their advertising. So embrace the UGC, the partnerships, the founder content, the behind the scenes, and keep being as raw and authentic as possible, while also still keeping an eye on how you can actually leverage AI to make your life easier.
I love that. A couple of cool little ideas in there as well. Thank you, Elise. Now, we're very nearly at the end of the show, so could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
Absolutely. Please come connect with me on Instagram. I'm at the Elise Collat. So that's TheElyseCollat. And I offer free one-on-one strategy sessions, and my DMs are just always open. So I'd love to connect if you liked the episode or want to learn more.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Elise. And I'm sure you'll get several people getting in contact for one of those one-on-ones. Thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast and for giving us such a straightforward, if hard work, approach to our Facebook ads in 2026. I know it's going to make a lot of people's businesses more successful. So thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Love the clarity and depth that Elise gave us there on how to make your Facebook ads really perform now and into 2026. Two key things to get right. One, have some of that budget for testing your crazy, zany ideas, for things you hear other brands doing, you see on YouTube channels, you read about in blogs, hear about on podcasts, to try those little ideas and to find those little nuggets of places that really deliver for you. And then secondly, build that creative flywheel. And it clearly starts with some really good foundations of having the discipline for every time you're doing recordings, recording multiple hooks. So you can create those different videos when you're working with your content creators, getting them to do the same thing. Then filing it all in a way that makes sense. I know it sounds dull, but a whole load of files called im_vid_123456789 with the date is not going to help you. You need decent file names, decent foldering systems, so you know what you've got. And so then you can splice it all together and then make sure you've got that freshness of content coming in regularly. And I loved the point about even if you're targeting different demographics, you can put all of those into the same campaign and it should still perform because the Facebook Andromeda update should be able to handle that. Maybe that's one of the things you're going to test. Well, you can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you will be redirected straight to the right page of the site. When you get there, why not add yourself to our email list? Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out episode 284, where we're talking about performance PR in the affiliate space, because it's another key way to grow your sales with advertising spend next year. And it's a bit of a blue ocean. Not a lot of people are doing it yet. So there's a lot of potential there. And if you want more on Facebook ads, then either scroll up your feed to the episodes that start with either Facebook ads or Meta ads. We pick and choose which keyword we go with on a regular basis, or use the short link keepopt.com/meta. That will take you to a page on the website that has all our episodes about Facebook ads in the same place. And there's plenty in there about creative as well. Finally, please do tell your fellow marketers about the show because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Join us next time for another take on customer acquisition. We'll be going into a totally different space in the next episode. Have a great week and make sure you listen to us next time so we can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Check out the latest TikTok ads, new advertiser deals. Find them at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.